seats. I think you're coming out. Welcome to Ways and Means Committee. Rosa, will you please call the roll?
Chair Payne.
Here.
Vice Chair Zika.
Present.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Here.
Representatives Altman.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Clemens.
Here.
Sigley.
Here.
Rico.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Killebrew. Excuse. Maggard.
Here.
McLean.
Here.
Sabatini.
What?
Schoaf.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Schlossberg King.
Here.
The quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your presence, we have a quorum. Let me remind you to please turn off your electronic devices and also turn your mics on today so that we can record your vote. Great day. Going to be a good day. We're going to have a fun day. I want to recognize some folks from, I think we have some students from Clay Electric here. Are they in the back? Yeah, stand up or wave or let us know you're here. So, okay, yeah, from the co-ops. Good. Okay, good to see you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. All right. Representative Escamani is setting a tone for us already today. Members, today we have 11 bills, and includes the tax package that we will cover at the end. So I'm going to try to control our time pretty closely so that we have a good 45 minutes towards the end of the meeting to do the tax package. I think it's important considering the hard work of each of you and our staff this year. So first up, we will bring up Representative Williamson, who will present House Bill 651. Representative Williamson, welcome, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 651 is a local bill that creates an independent special fire district for Navarre Beach. And I just wanted to add that anytime that somebody, an entity, comes to me and ask for a local bill that will grant them a taxing authority or a fee-raising ability, I tell them before I will run this bill, you have to go to the Board of County Commission and get a non-binding referendum to see what the locals think about it. This was passed with over 70% of the vote by the people that will be affected, so I think we're doing the will of the people, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair Williamson. Members, are there questions on the bill? No questions. Amendments to the bill? No amendments. We have public testimony. We do have one from the Florida Professional Firefighters. Waving in support. Thank you, sir. No other public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Williamson, you recognize the close.
Wave close, Mr.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 651 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Sigley?
Yes.
Rico? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggard?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show the bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
Yes, sir. Members, next we'll go to House Bill 1161, Manatee County. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Today I have House Bill 1161 relating to Manatee County. This bill is a local bill to establish the Stewardship District in Manatee County, Florida. The establishment of this proposed district will help facilitate the long-term comprehensive development of lands within the special district. This proposal has been approved unanimously by the Manatee County Legislative Delegation, along with unanimous approval by the Manatee County Board of County Commissioners, and that is the bill.
Representative Robinson, having presented his bill, members, do we have questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments to the bill, no amendments, public testimony. We do have public testimony. Mr. Gary Hunter, Faulkner Properties, you're recognized. Waving in support. And Edward Briggs from Highland Homes. He wishes to appear. Is he here, Mr. Briggs? Okay. No other public appearance. testimony, public testimony? Is there debate on the bill, members? Seeing no debate, Representative Robinson, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on HB 1161?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Shoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy? Slosberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show HB 1161 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we will go to... Next, we'll go to House Bill 877, Downtown Development Authority of the City of Fort Lauderdale. Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. This bill's relatively simple. It's the Fort Lauderdale Downtown Development Authority. The Downtown Development Authority in Fort Lauderdale is a taxing district created and funded by the business community only. It does not tax residential property, and they use the money for long-term infrastructure investments in the community. Right now, the sunset for their ability to borrow and continue is 2030. All this bill does is push it back 2 years to 2032.
Members, questions on the bill? Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What exactly is the purpose of extending it for 2 years?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Right now, that would put it at 10 years, and I believe we're going to try to get a referendum on it to ensure that the local community wants it to move beyond that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, amendments to the bill. There are none. Public testimony on the bill. No public testimony. Members are in debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Gottlieb, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Shoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill is reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, next we'll take up House Bill 801, Valuation of Timeshare Units by Chair Fine. Chair Fine, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for agendaing this bill. HB 801 will assist timeshare owners in requesting an appeal for their timeshares to be valued at what they actually could sell them for, as opposed to some variation on what they purchased them for. It will simply give them an appeal right. That is the bill.
Representative Fine, having presented bills, members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Escamani, Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thanks, Chair Fine. Could you break down for us the percentage of timeshares that are owned by companies versus individuals? My understanding is that majority are owned by some very big businesses.
You're recognized.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, that's not the subject of the bill.
Chair, may I have a follow-up?
I'll grant you some latitude on the follow-up.
Thanks so much. My understanding is that your bill impacts timeshares and those who own timeshares. So could you break down for us who are the owners of timeshares?
I'm not sure that's substance of the bill. You're welcome to take a shot at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The provisions of the bill would apply to all owners of timeshares, irrespective of who owns them.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair?
Follow-up.
I understand that the impact by the REC is pretty high. $190 million broken down between schools and local property taxes. Is that an appropriate break for local governments at this point, especially in Osceola and Orange, where so many timeshares are located?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would respectfully disagree with the impact. The impact assumes that 100% of timeshare owners request an appeal, and in 100% of cases, that appeal is granted. We don't think this will actually happen all that often. It will happen in egregious cases. The challenge with a timeshare is you purchase it, but then what you're able, I believe you should be taxed on an asset for what you can sell it for,
right? I mean, your car is not worth what someone says it's worth. Your car is what you could sell it for. Your house is not one, is not what someone says it's worth. Your house is what someone is willing to pay for it. Unfortunately, in the timeshare world, in many cases, that what you are taxed on is based on what you paid for it, even though what you might actually be able to sell it for is a fraction of that. So these folks are effectively, in my opinion, being dramatically overtaxed. This would simply give them the right, if there are an adequate number of resales, to say, look, you can look and see what these things are selling for. That's what they're worth. Use that as the value for what they should be taxed at. But again, respectfully, we think this is sort of a worst case scenario. And I believe there's going to be an expert who knows a whole lot more about this than I do, who will share a little bit more insight into why that number might be a little bit overstated.
Okay.
Members, other questions on the bill? You've got one more. You want to wait after that, the testimony of our expert?
Just maybe one more question. That's okay, Chair.
One more question.
Thank you so much. I'm learning about timeshares just because of this bill being in front of me, but my understanding is that timeshare developers, do they ever work with resale companies to buy back timeshare units and then try to buy them at depressed values and then resell them as new inventory, which with your bill might allow them to have a reduced property tax that might not be relevant to what they're actually, embarking on?
You're fine. You want to take a shot at that?
Sure. In a free market where there's a willing buyer and a willing seller, what they sell for is what they're worth.
Good. Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, there's no amendments to the bill. We have public testimony. Ellen Bogdanoff, Grand Vista, you are recognized. You wish to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I represent Grand Vista, and I just wanted to give you some stats. And we do have an expert here who can answer a lot of the detailed questions. His name is Barry Diskin, 35 years as a Florida State University faculty member. I won't hold that against him. And he is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Faculty Hall of Fame. So he is an expert that can answer a lot of your detailed questions. But the, in particular, the Marriott Vacation Worldwide gave us the numbers of the owners just in this particular timeshare alone, which is one of the largest in the state, and that is 32,492 owners. There's no breakdown as to whether or not they're individuals or they're corporations, and there are ample sales. And part of the problem that we've had is some of the tax, and let me clarify that a lot of the tax collectors are doing it properly. There are some, because the language of the statute is so broad that allows them, it says if there aren't adequate sales, you can default to a formula that was written 35 years ago when the industry had not matured. Because when timeshares first came out, there was no resale. So they defaulted to paragraph 11, which allows you to tax them at 50%. And because of our constitutional non-homesteaded 10% increase in taxation, they would have the original value 10%, 10%, 10%. To the point where in some of the units or the units in the Grand Vista were 3 and 4 times their actual value. Adequate is not really defined in the statute, so we've changed the words to reasonable because that is a legal standard that most people can understand. And in the 2018, there were 661 sold in Grand Vista, 19,563. In 2020, 299, and in 21, 463. And arguably, that is a reasonable number of timeshares in which you can evaluate, but that was not the formula that was being used at the time. But I want to thank you, and I think it's probably better use of your time for Barry Diskin, Dr. Diskin, to come up and answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Bogdanoff. Barry Diskin, Grand Villa HOA. You'd like to speak, sir? I think you wish to speak. You're recognized. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I thank Senator Bogdanoff. Probably stole most of my thunder. The paragraph 10 of 192.037 says that the property appraiser should first look to the resales. And then paragraph 11 says if there's an inadequate number of resales, then the property appraiser should use the original sale price, cut that in half, and that's the assessment. And I think that's what Senator Bogdanoff was mentioning. It's this 35-year-old verbiage that made sense when the industry was in its infancy. Well, clearly it's not in its infancy anymore. And in my opinion, although I have been a faculty member for a long time, I also have a private practice and I focus on eminent domain and property tax. And I've been studying this issue for just about 4 years. And in my opinion, the right way to do it is to follow paragraph 10 with it tightened up. And you'll have to help me here. I'm not sure what's appropriate. I know that there was a letter from Attorney Lauren Levy. And in his letter, he said that something like 98% of the sales or the resales were under $10. Well, my experience is simply that's not the case. I've been working on Grand Vista, and I've got over 1,000 sales just for 2017 and 2018. So are there sales that are outliers? And the answer is, just like you see, you know, if you look through deeds on a single family house, you're going to see outliers. You know, a house sells for $100 or sells for something that makes no sense till you delve into it. So I think most property appraisers probably are using resales and doing it properly, but there are some that insist that all resales are non-arm's length, and my experience would say that's not the case. I can go on about that if you need me to.
Thank you, sir. Questions for Mr. Yes, Representative.
Thank you for being here this Clemens. Morning. I know the timeshare industry is big in Florida, and it's pioneered in Florida, and I know because of that and the lack of regulations that it has basically taken advantage of some of the marketplace here in Florida. And so my couple questions, Mr. Chairman, is one is, do you know of any instances where timeshares have been given away or attempted to be transferred without remuneration?
You recognize.
Sir, I don't know if they've been given away. I mean, you can look at the public record and you can see some really low numbers, which is effectively a giveaway. But that's unusual.
Follow up.
Yes, sir. I'm not an expert on it, but I've heard and read some of the horror stories about the pressure tactics to make people buy these things when they probably weren't the best prudent decision for them and their families. But the legacy expenses is what I'm most concerned about, and since you're an expert, I wanted to ask you about it. How do you value, from a tax collector standpoint, an asset that has perhaps an unlimited upside of valuation? In other words, a limited upside where you have special assessments that are not built into that. So unlike homeowners, you know, with associations.
You're recognized.
Well, that's not that different than just a regular condominium. That's what these are the closest to. And so, you know, if you buy into a condominium, let's say that the majority of the people want to put in a gold swimming pool, and you don't swim, but you got to go along with it. So those kinds of things are going to happen, whether it's in a timeshare. I'm not sure I'm on point. I hope I am. But I think that's going to happen. But the way that should be valued is the way Representative Fine said, and just what they will sell for is the way they should be valued.
Follow-up, Representative.
Last one, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And I support Representative Fine's bill. My last question to you is, unlike condominiums, which there is a robust market in Florida for buyers and sellers, and usually it's easier to determine where that stay nine of value is. In the timeshare market, since there's not a robust market in that, there's not willing buyers and sellers because of that upside expense potential, how does all this play into stabilizing that that marketplace?
Well, I'm coming at it from a different assumption than you. I got an email this morning from a very experienced broker in Orlando, and she, in 20 and 21, just her, she had 385 sales. So I think there is a market, and that was not just Grand Vista, that was across a myriad of timeshare projects in the Orlando area.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Escamani.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thanks so much for being here. I appreciate your expertise. So my understanding is, well, maybe you can help me understand this better. Past lawsuits, the courts have agreed with property appraisers on the issue that you described, and there's potentially pending litigation today. Is that not true? Could you maybe expand upon that?
Well, I'm guessing that you are referring to the two lawsuits that Mr. Levy brought up, and no disrespect to Mr. Levy. I've been to his office a couple of times. His dad always wants to make me lunch. I know about those lawsuits, and you're correct. There is pending litigation on Grand Vista, which obviously I don't want to go there because I'm a witness there. But I know that in those lawsuits that I think you're referring to, probably the Osceola County mm-hmm. ones, you know, that there was the property appraiser was able to convince the court that there could not be valid resales. You know, I've been looking at it, and I can tell you on the work I'm doing right now, I had 509 resales that were valid. So I'm not sure why they did that. I can't speak to that. I wasn't involved in that case, so I'm not sure I can answer your question.
Follow-up, Chair, if I can.
One more follow-up.
Thank you. I'll pivot away from that then. And maybe you could help me better understand the marketplace of you know, who are the majority owners of timeshares compared to everyday people versus companies. My understanding that's developers that mostly own timeshares. And I also was hoping you can share us a breakdown of the percentage of sales that are distressed sales, meaning that their property is going to be less, so they're sold at a distressed rate. Could you maybe expand upon those two points a little bit?
Through the chair, you're recognized.
And the first question was how many of them are owned by corporations versus individuals? Okay, I don't think I know that, but the value shouldn't depend on whose name's on the deed. So I don't know why that would make any difference. But I don't know the answer, but in the work that I've been doing, it appears from looking at the grantors and grantees, they're just, you know, John and Mary Brown to Bill and Mary Smith. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of, I mean, you do see some that look like they're.
Yeah, I think Chair Fine addressed that earlier in the fact that it doesn't matter who the owner is looking at the valuation of the condo. Do you have a follow-up? Okay, good. Thank you, Mr. Diskin. Appreciate you being here.
Okay.
Next public appearance is Gary Hunter from American Resort Development Association. He's not here, but he has a waving in support. And finally, Lauren Levy, the Property Appraiser Association of Florida Incorporated. Mr. Levy? He is not here. He wished to appear. Okay, we're going to move on. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Ranking member.
Thank you so much, Chair, and I appreciate it. You know, the reason why I ask who owns it is because I'm trying to figure out, is this a tax break for everyday people or tax break for big businesses? That's why I ask, because I really think it's a priority legislature to look at tax breaks for everyday folks, not necessarily companies that have huge profits. That's why I ask. It's not a question to be leading or dismissive. I'm truly curious, right? Like, who is the benefit of this? And so I didn't get an answer to that question. I also didn't get an answer to how many of these properties are distressed. And so I as I'm learning more about this issue, I feel like I'm going to have to vote down on it because I just, that impact in the REC is huge, especially for the areas that I represent, Orange, and then my neighbor Osceola. And so I'm going to do my best to learn more about it. But my understanding is that you know, it really is those bigger companies that benefit, and so I would rather learn more about that before I can put a yes on this. So I apologize to you, Chair Fine. I have time to talk to you about it beforehand, but that's where my vote will be today. Thanks, Chair.
Other members in debate? Representative Clemens, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Fine, for bringing this very good bill. I have a completely different overview of what is just or reasonable. I think that justice should be blind. I think if something is fair and equal, it should be fair and equal to anyone who is negatively impacted with that. Thank you for recognizing that there is an inequity in the evaluations or the appraisals for these properties that may probably not be worth what those entities say that they are. And thus, it is inequitable, and people are being charged taxes that aren't justly due. So thank you, sir.
Other members in debate? Seeing no other debate, Chair Fine, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to be brief, I was actually thinking about Representative Escamilla's question, and I suspect actually most timeshares are owned by large corporations. It's because they haven't sold them yet. I mean, until it's sold, it's owned by the large corporation who built it. But the timeshare product, this bill is fundamentally looking out for the little guy. Leave out the sales tactics, which we've all heard about. Timeshares are not a product that are generally purchased by the wealthy. It is a way to get vacation ownership for someone typically in the middle class. And this bill, by the way, was brought to me by some of those folks. This was not brought to me by a big corporation. It was brought to me by regular folks who happened to buy a timeshare and cannot believe how expensive it is to keep the timeshare because they are being taxed at rates far in excess of what they actually can get for it. Now, tourism is the lifeblood of our state. And this is one way that tourists come here and access our state is by buying timeshares. And to some degree, these are the best tourists we can get because when you buy the timeshare, it means you're coming back every year. You bought that 1 week a year, and we want it to be easy for them to come back. We don't want to soak these folks. We want them to be coming back. So this is a bill that's looking out for the little guy. You want to stand with the big corporations? Vote no. You want to stand with the little guy? Vote yes. With that, I ask for your favorable support.
Chair Fine, having closed this bill, Rosa, will you please call the vote on House Bill 801, Valuation of Timeshare? All right, members, calm down. Will you please call the vote on 801 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
No.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes, for the little guy.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
No.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Schlossberg King?
Yes.
Yes, 13 yeas, 2 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, by your vote, show HB 801 reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for agendaing the bill.
Okay, members, next we will take up House Joint Resolution 973, Homestead Property Tax Assessment Limitations and Tax Exemptions for Certain Low-Income Elderly Persons by Representative Barrero, and you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for agendaing this bill. Members like myself, this is another little guy bill. This bill will update Florida's constitution, and there's an implementing bill with it, which will allow for more low-income seniors to qualify for a property tax exemption. It has essentially three major parts. First, it freezes the assessed value of a low-income senior's assessable taxable value, and it does it based on their income at $32,000 adjusted gross income. Second, there's an abatement, so if a local jurisdiction elects or chooses to waive property taxes, eliminate property taxes for a low-income senior, they are allowed to adopt this new property tax exemption. And the third thing it does is it provides an update. So there currently is a low-income senior exemption, so property values that are worth $250,000 for a low-income senior who has lived in his home for 25 years, he is allowed to qualify for a full property tax exemption. Since this property tax exemption was created, property values have increased dramatically. Over the last 2 years alone, over 30% increase in the median value of homes. So what this will do is this will raise the assessable value, the qualifying value for a low-income senior from $250,000 to $300,000. It will also lower the eligible time frame that a low-income senior would have to live in the home to qualify for this exemption from 25 to 20 years, and it also pings that accessible value of $300,000 a year to the rate of inflation. Members, that is a bill.
Members, Representative Barrero having presented bill, his bill. Do we have questions on the bill? Representative Hart, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. I was just trying to find out, have you spoken to the counties and where are they with the exemption?
You're recognized.
I have received no opposition from the counties on this. And I have talked with other local elected officials and county members. There are some municipalities who are actually asking for this option. You know, when we talk about the little guy, if you think about how many low-income seniors we have
I mean, just this past weekend alone, I was speaking to someone who is low income. They've paid off their home, and they've been living in it for a very long time, and they actually now have to sell the home because they can no longer afford the property taxes. The property taxes was the straw that broke the camel's back. So this is really about helping those types of individuals.
Representative Hart, you good? Okay, Representative Caruso, you recognize the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Rep. You mentioned that we're tying this now to the rate of inflation. How is that rate of inflation determined, and who determines that rate of inflation?
You recognize.
Right. So there's a rate of inflation that that the House uses to I believe it's the median. The adjustable value of what is just for the state of Florida. So there's a rate of inflation just for the state of Florida that the state monitors. And based on that average, that medium increase every year, the state assesses that the rate of inflation for the medium price of homes that increases every year. That answers your question.
Follow up. Yep, you recognize.
Would it account for deflation?
For deflation? I do not believe it would account for deflation.
Thank you. No further.
Other questions, members? Public testimony on the bill. No public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Representative Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was not saying I wasn't going to vote for your bill. I think it's a great opportunity for our seniors. I do a lot of affordable housing, so I do know that our seniors really need this break. I was just wondering what kind of implications there would be for our counties. I know they're going to lose money because of a larger exemption, because we've done this before. But I cannot go against something that's going to help thousands of seniors, because it's sorely needed. The prices have escalated out of range, and I know that the taxes are continuing to go up because mine are going up. Just
other members in debate.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Representative Hart, are you done? I'm sorry. Other members in debate? Seeing no other debate, Representative Brewer, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this helps out those who need it the most. These are members who have been living in our community for such a long time. You have to live in the home for 20 years. Imagine that, 20 years. And to be able to have to be kicked out of your home or lose your home because you can no longer afford property taxes is a really sad thing. And we're facing a crisis situation in the state of Florida where so many people are moving into our state. We don't have a large inventory, and it's driving up the prices of homes. And those who are feeling it the most are the low-income seniors. So this is about helping them to keep their homes. And with that, I ask for your favorable support.
Representative Barreau, having closed on his bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on 973 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, showed that bill reported favorably. You, Representative Barreiro, we will now move to the implementing bill 975. You're recognized.
Members, this is the implementing bill should the constitutional amendment be approved by the voters.
Any questions on the bill, members? No questions. Amendments to the bill, no amendments. Public debate, public testimony. There's no public testimony. Debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Barreiro, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on HB 975 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escomani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Barreiro. Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Okay, members, now we'll go to House Bill 995, Sumter County. Representative Hague is not here. Representative McLean is going to going to present the bill in his stead. Representative McLean, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is a local bill for Sumter County and the villages. It's House Bill 995. It's a local bill. This will create an independent fire district. And really all we're voting on today would be to allow for a voter referendum that would take place on the general election ballot in November of 2022 to create the district. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Members, questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, amendments on the bill, no amendments, public testimony on the bill. Yes, we have one public, but we got three here. Okay, Thomas Hobbs, Villages Center Community Development District. You are waving in support? Okay, thank you. Joe Salzberg for the Villages, waving in support. Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here. Rocco Salvatore, Florida Professional Firefighters, waving in support. Yes, sir. Thank you. Members, debate on the bill. Do we have debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative McLean, you're recognized to close on HB 995.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Rosa, will you please call the roll and announce the vote on HB 995?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Sigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Flossberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Next, members, we'll go to House Bill 973, exemptions for charges, 763, exemptions for charges for private investigators. Representative Casello, would you like to go to the podium? Thank you, sir. You are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my prime co-sponsor, my friend and colleague, Representative Caruso, for supporting this good bill. This is an exemption for private investigators. And in 1987, the Florida legislature both passed and then later a special session repealed its tax on services. The services provided by private investigators, or PIs, were left out of the repeal due to lack of representation and continues to be taxed in some instances. If you are an insurance company, government agency, or a resident of another state and hire a PI, you are exempted from the services tax. But if you are an individual and you have the need to hire a PI to protect you and your family, you must pay the state of Florida a sales tax. Today, this professional service tax only applies to everyday Floridians who are in need of PI services. Due to who's paying instead of a PI tax, as it stands now, we have more of a victim service tax. In addition to making sure it's families that no longer have to pay this tax, this exemption is also limited to small agencies with sales of $150,000 or less operating as private investigators. Chair, that is the bill.
Members of Casello, having presented his bill, members, are there questions on the underlying bill? Because we do have an amendment. Questions on the underlying bill? Seeing no questions, members, so we're going to move to the amendment. The amendment on the bill, Representative Casello, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment makes some technical tweaks to conform the bill to the Senate version. The amendment more accurately describes that private investigative agencies pay sales tax on revenue to the agency. It also places the burden on the PI agency, the taxpayer in this situation, in the event of an audit to prove taxable revenue did not exceed the $150,000 limit. That, Chair, is the amendment.
Members, questions on the amendment? No questions on the amendment. Are there amendments to the amendment? Seeing none, is there public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony. Debate on the amendment, members? No debate. Without objection, show that amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? Yes, we do have public testimony. Lauren Whitnor, Florida Association of Licensed Investigators, waving in support. Did I get that right? I didn't. All right. Rittenour. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I should have known better. Members, we're in debate on the amended bill. Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for carrying the load on this bill. It's been a long time coming, and I think finally we bring justice to the profession of private investigators. So thank you for your hard work on this. I Prime co-sponsored it, so I clearly am up on this bill.
Thank you.
Members, any other debate on the amended bill? Seeing none, Representative Casella, you are recognized to close on your bill.
We'll waive the close, Mr. Chair.
All right, not going to take a chance on that, are you? Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 763 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escalante?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Schlossberg-King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Members, we'll now take up House Bill 673, Tourist Development Taxes, by Representative Schoaf. And do you want to present from your seat?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. Okay, you're recognized.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. Currently, Bay, Okaloosa, and Walton counties are currently able to use 10% of their tourist development taxes to reimburse tourism-related public safety costs. This bill simply expands that capability to the fiscally constrained coastal counties. There are seven in total. That would be Gulf, Franklin, Wakulla, Jefferson, Taylor, Dixie, and Levy. I would tell you that the reason for this bill, and I like to give this example, in my home county, Gulf County, we have a permanent population of around 15,000 residents. We are a fiscally constrained county, meaning we can't tax our way out of this issue. Currently, we have three sheriff's deputies that are on patrol at any given time, and with 15,000 people, that works. But when we see a surge in our tourist population, 30, 40, 50,000 people on any given weekend, our current sheriff's department can't handle that load. So we have brought this bill today. This would allow for up to 10% of the bed tax dollars to go to offset public safety. For that, I would ask for your support.
Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Clemens, did you have a question on the bill? Okay, debate, okay. There is an amendment to the bill. Representative Schoaf, would you like to explain the amendment?
Yes, sir, this is a technical amendment. There was some language that we were removing that was left over from the first draft of the bill that wasn't needed. That is the amendment.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Amendments to the amendment, no amendments to the amendment. Is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none, debate on the amendment. Representative Schoaf, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, Member Lassier, that amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're back on the bill. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? We have some public testimony. Chris Holly, Gulf County. He is waving in support. And Samantha Padgett, Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. And you're not going to wave in support. You're going to speak. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, you're recognized.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Samantha Padgett. I'm the Vice President of Government Relations and General Counsel for the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. We appreciate the opportunity to address the committee today. It should be no surprise to many of you that have sat here many years before to hear that we will stand in opposition to this bill. I want to thank Representative Schoaf. He has made it very clear that his intention is to extend to the fiscally constrained county a similar privilege that exists with their wealthier neighbors, and that is that 10% for public service expenditures. I also want to thank him because in the previous committee, he limited the language of the bill to specify that it could not supplant normal operating expenses and it must be tied to tourism, which is a similar requirement that exists for the three existing counties, Bay, Okaloosa, and Walton counties. I want to thank you for doing that. And I understand that his explanation why this is necessary, and we're rising in opposition because we originally opposed the move for Bay, Okaloosa, and Walton to do this as well, and highlighting for you that the tourism development tax is Florida's dedicated source of revenue for promotion and marketing of tourism. And it was adopted specifically that for that purpose in the 1970s by Florida voters, and it continues to exist for this purpose today. And as we continue to allow for additional expenses, additional allowable reasons to spend this money, we're slowly siphoning off that dedicated source of revenue for other purposes. And while I think what Representative Shove is doing is just making it consistent across the panhandle for this specific use, my caution to this committee and to the legislature is that as we continue to siphon off 10% here, 20% here, this, that, and the other, and we add these additional allowable expenses, we take away these important dollars that are necessary specifically for promotion and marketing of tourism. And as we saw during the COVID, during the pandemic, how very crucial tourism is to the state of Florida. It is the lifeblood of our economy. And these dollars need to be protected specifically for this purpose. So we highlight for you the concern that we're continuing to siphon off these dollars, but we do recognize specifically what Representative Shove is trying to accomplish here today. Respectfully, we rise in opposition to the use of these dollars as they were adopted several years back and the extension of that for these reasons, though we do understand the specific need he is highlighting.
Thank you, Ms. Padgett. Do we have questions for Ms. Padgett? Seeing none, okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Another public testimony. Members, we're in debate on the bill as amended. Representative Clemens, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Shove, for bringing this bill. This is a dilemma. I'm a big supporter of tourist development taxes. I've served as a chairman of a TDC in my region. And at one time, I was a purist. I wanted to make sure that heads in beds, and if we allocated the monies to that particular people or group that wanted to have some of the money, that they had needed to show a rational nexus of the numbers of visitors in our particular jurisdiction. But as time has, and I felt just the way that Ms. Padgett felt, but as time went on and I got elected to the legislature and I represent Dixie and Gilchrist counties who have very small populations, there are times during holidays and summertime where the population of the small counties I represent literally double or double and a half on a weekend or a 4th of July or a Memorial Day. That puts a tremendous strain on those economically distressed counties that are at the 10 mil cap. They literally have nowhere else to pull the resources for to pay the overtime for the deputies, to pay the overtime for the people who are unruly on the 4th of July and they must be booked for the court systems. And so I'll be supporting you today. I would like to find some way to fund those types of activities, because the biggest concern that I have is we have an attraction in one of the counties that will bring as many as 10 to 15,000 people to that natural attraction, and all kinds of things, bad things happen. And the publicity that you get as a locality from that negative publicity can far diminish the future tourist or people that would want to enjoy that. So I'll be up on it today, Mr. Chairman.
Members, other members in debate. Ranking member, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just wanted to agree with everything Rep. Clemens just said, and I think it's unquestionable that law enforcement and public safety plays a role in a healthy tourism environment. When you have that many visitors in any capacity, our safety officers are strained. And so to see the connection between tourism dollars supporting those officers, I think it's good policy, and I'll be supporting it today.
Thank you. Other members in debate? Seeing no other debate, Representative Schaefer, you're recognized to close on your bill's amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think everything that was just said is the best close possible, so I will end it there.
Okay, thank you, Representative Schaefer. Having closed on this bill, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 673 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Pacello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Visigli?
Yes.
Rico? Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
So Schlossberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Members, we're going to, you're still on deck there, Representative Schoaf, so we're going to move into committee substitute for House Bill 1491, Alligator Point Water Resource District, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a local bill that would, if passed, would allow the locals impacted by this to do a local referendum. Currently, the Alligator Point Water Management District has 128 residents that live right outside of its border but utilize its services. They are charged a $30 surcharge each month. If this passes this body and the Senate and goes to the locals and passes there, those 128 members would now be a part of the district and would save some money each year. And that is the bill.
Representative Schiff, having presented his bill, members, we are having questions on the bill. Any questions on the bill? Amendments to the bill? Showing no amendments. Public testimony on the bill? No public testimony. Debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Schoaf, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Rosa, will you please call the roll on CS for HB 1491 and announce the vote?
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Bisigli?
Yes.
Grieco? Hart? Yes. Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Schlossberg King?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, show that bill reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Schoaf. Okay, members, now we're going to take up, I think that's all the member bills. Is that correct? We're going to take up a PCB for Ways and Means Committee 101, the tax package. And I'm going to pass the gavel to Vice Chair Zika.
Okay, members, we are going to take up PCB WMC 22-01 taxation. This is the House tax package bill. Representative Payne, you are recognized to explain the proposed committee bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair. And I just recognize I said 2101, it's actually 2201. We are in year 22.
2-01.
Yes, thank you. So members, you know, I wanted to have a band or a marching band or something like that coming today, but it was against the rules. You know, I wanted to have some other things that I would like to pass out, but we couldn't do that today. So I'm just going to get right to the tax package. We're going to run through the tax package, and we also have some Girl Scouts we want to hear from today. They're in the back. I've seen them come in. So we'll call you up in just a minute. Members, the tax package this year has several elements in it. First, there are familiar sales tax holidays with a few differences. First of all, we're including Freedom Florida Week again, so we like more freedom. This for a second year. This is a 7-day sales tax holiday running from July 1st through July 7th, focused on recreational items and activities. It provides the same sales tax exemptions for admission to certain live events, specified outdoor recreational items as it did last year with some specifics on additional for pool supplies. We have a back-to-school sales tax holiday that is different in some important ways. This year's holiday is for 2 weeks from July 25th through August the 7th, typically is one. So it's 2 weeks this year. The price points, which include, and they have increased, clothing items are increased from $60 per item to $100 per item. School supplies are increased from $15 per item to $50 per item. Personal computers are increased from $1,000 to $1,500 per item. We've also added a separate category for learning aids and puzzles. We want to ensure kids have every opportunity to build those critical thinking skills and some opportunities to read over the summer, so we've added things like puzzles and learning aids up to $30. We also have the disaster preparedness sales tax holiday, and it's lengthened from 7 days to a full 2 weeks from May 28th through June 10th. In addition to the items included last year, we've included smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, fire extinguishers, those safety elements that we often hear about when after those disasters or during disasters when those generators are running. But another important difference is that we've included certain pet items. and supplies. And we have some Girl Scout troops here from Clearwater that wrote a proposal and suggested to us that lawmakers need to include some things throughout the year for disaster preparedness and their disaster preparedness supply kits that should include some items necessary for pet care during an emergency. So this is especially important if you need to evacuate to a shelter or other places of safety, and having a plan to take your pets with you and having the necessary items you need to take care of your pets. And we just really thought this was a great idea. I want to ask the Girl Scouts to come up and address us at the podium if you would like. And yeah, they would. So these are Girl Scouts, I think 14 to 16 years old. They've written a nice letter to the speaker, was recognized. And so, ladies, welcome. Please just tell us who you are, if you have one spokesman or you'd all like to speak, and tell us who you are, and welcome. We're glad you're here. Is the mic, yeah, push the, there's a button you can push. There you go, you got it, great.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, representatives. We are members of the Girl Scout Troop 601. As part of our Silver Award Pet Preparedness Project, we created a Facebook page and handed out emergency kit for pet owners to get prepared before an emergency happens. When researching for a project, we were surprised to find out that pet supplies were not part of the Florida Disaster Preparedness Sales Tax Holiday. We started an online petition to get support for this mission. According to our research, 56% of Florida households own a pet, and annual expenses for dog owners is like approximately $1,200 and cats $700. By adding these items to the tax holiday, we will help citizens to be ready when an emergency happens. They will be able to take their pets to a local shelter and have the mandatory supplies for their pets to stay there.
Thank you. Welcome. Your name?
I'm Megan Miller. The items we identified that should be added to the Florida Disaster Preparedness Sale Tax Holiday are kennels or carriers, food, leashes, collars, and muzzles, manual can openers, feeding bowls, cat litter, litter pans, pet pads, and beds.
Thank you. You're recognized.
The tax-exempt holiday incentivizes people to plan ahead and will benefit us all by helping to relieve some stress placed on the shelters and local communities to provide feed these animals after the emergency happens. We know you care about the health and safety of Floridians' pets because they are truly part of our families. We ask that you consider adding these to the 2022 list of items for tax exemption. Thank you for your consideration, Girl Scout Troop 601 and our pets.
Thank you. Who's next? Members, I want to give these young ladies a round of applause. You know, young ladies, you know, we want to just take a moment of personal privilege and thank you, because, you know, the Girl Scout motto is to be prepared. And it's to be prepared and prepare yourself for all types of situations, especially emergencies. So you not only took action, you not only recognized the problem and supplied us with statistical data, but you recognize a way to make an improvement. So thank you so much for being here. You know, it's rewarding. It gives me hope to know that we have youth out there that come to Tallahassee or send letters to Tallahassee and are engaged in the process. And certainly we thank you for helping Florida be more prepared for our pets. We all love pets. Thank you.
Chairman, may I recommend that every bill be presented by the Girl Scouts?
I would go along with that. Were you a Girl Scout? Okay, your bills are dead.
Oh, good one.
Wow. Let's talk more about the tax package.
Yes, okay. Let's get back to business here. But thank you, ladies. Thank you for being here. You traveled a long way. Beyond those three familiar sales tax holidays, we are proposing for the first time this year a sales tax holiday on specific items related to skilled trade, like mechanics, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, and so on. The cost of necessary items for their education and training, along with the items needed for their entry into the workforce and the barriers that they may be presented. These sales tax holidays would run for 7 days from September the 3rd through September the 9th, which includes, Representative Escamani, what holiday is that? Labor Day. Thank you. Next, we have several proposals that provide for sales tax exemptions that are not permanent but are longer than the typical sales tax holiday and only typically run for a short period of time. These include the exemption on children's books that would last for 3 months from May 14th through August the 14th. That's that children's reading initiative that we want to keep up during the summer. This period was chosen to allow this purchase of books with a summer, a focus on summer vacations and help keep kids on track for their reading skills when they're not in the classroom. 1 year exemption on the purchase of baby and toddler clothes, shoes, and I'm sure Representative Escamani will be speechless on diapers. This is a familiar, or similar to HB 85 by the ranking member Escamani previously, and that's a diaper exemption in only for children's diapers and it lasts a year, and of course we all love babies. A sales tax exemption on the Energy Star certified washers, dryers, and water heaters priced at $1,500 and Energy Star certified refrigerators priced up to $3,000. This would apply September the 1st, 2022 through February the 8th, 2023. This is similar to the HB 201 bill by Representative Daley, which we heard in committee last week, but includes a few larger items for a much longer period of time. We also included a modification of an idea by Representative DeSigley from HB 863 and CFO Jimmy Petronis that championed this idea. This PCB creates a 2-year sales tax exemption for impact-resistant windows, doors, and garage doors in residential buildings from July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2024. There's some additional sales tax issues included in the PCB. A reduction in the sales tax on the sale of new mobile homes from 6% to 3% as provided in CSR HB 509 by Representative Yarborough. An exemption on certain machinery and equipment used to produce green hydrogen as provided in CSR HB 1163 by Representative Oberdorf. An exemption on admission to Formula One Grand Prix events held in Florida. And if you're not familiar with that, there is an opportunity for a Grand Prix event in South Florida, and we often hold those tickets for those large events tax exempt. There are several property taxes included in this PCB. First is a proposal by the governor to eliminate all property taxes and special assessments related to property affected by the Surfside disaster. Second is an idea contained in HB 71 by Representative Woodson. This would provide a property relief for the residential properties that are rendered uninhabitable for more than 30 days as a result of a catastrophic event. And we saw those in numerous cases, and certainly with Hurricane Michael. The property tax for the year would be proportionally reduced based on the proportion of the year that the property was uninhabitable. This prospective change would help with future hurricanes or storms, catastrophic events, fires, or similar events. The third is a provision in HB 13 by Representative Gottlieb that would increase the current property tax exemption available in widowers, blind, and permanently disabled persons from $500 to $5,000. It's long overdue. Fourth, we are updating the list of active military operations for which service members can qualify for a property tax exemption based on deployment. And last is a provision related to the valuation of property used in the production of aquaculture products. This is a substance of a bill, House Bill 149 by Representative Tuck, that we heard in committee last year. We have a provision that creates a doc stamp exemption for federal loans made in response to a state of emergency declared by executive order or proclamation of the governor, which is included in House Bill 1293 by Representative Gregory. For corporate income tax, the PCB includes a provision that creates a corporate income tax credit for certain short line rails that invest in maintaining or improving railroad tracks in Florida. We think that will help improve businesses for the short line rails for those areas that I really think of as short line rails almost as commuter roads. There's a provision that adds some flexibility to businesses that want to make contributions to strong families tax credit. In the New World's Reading Initiative, the tax credit program created last year, this also applies to insurance premium tax. The bill also increases the amount of money available for strong families tax credit from $5 million annually to $10 million annually for this and future years. This program allows for a tax credit against corporate income tax, insurance premiums, tax, oil and gas severance tax, alcohol beverages tax, or self-remittance sales tax. The bill adopts Internal Revenue Code as of January 1st, 2022, to maintain conformity with the federal code for Florida corporate income tax purposes. This is the piggyback provision I'm sure you've all heard about and that we discussed previously. The primary changes with this is that it picks up a change at the federal level that was included in the Federal Tax and Job Cuts Act passed by Congress in 2017. This provision only went into effect at the federal level on January 1st of this year. It essentially requires certain research and experimental expenditures that could previously be fully expensed in a given year to be amortized over a five-year period if they're domestic and 15 years for foreign expenditures. This is a timing change at the federal level that we pick up for Florida purposes adopting the Internal Revenue Code. Finally, last but not least, is a provision that increases the amount of money available for a community contribution tax credit program by $5 million annually, from $14.5 million under current law to $19.5 million under the PCB. The program allows for tax credit for corporate income tax, insurance premiums, and sales tax. And that is the bill, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair Payne. Members, questions on the bill? Wow. No questions.
Speechless.
Yeah. Great job, Chair. Okay. Any amendments? No amendments. Public testimony on the bill. We have Marnie George with Habitat for Humanity of Florida waves in support. Thank you. Michael Kusick with Opportunity Solutions Project waves in support. Shannon Schuler, sir, with Rail USA LLC waves in support. Again, Shannon Schuler, sir, with Florida East Coast Railway waves in support. Florida Association of Counties, Robert McKee. It's an opponent. Okay. Mr. McKee, you're recognized.
Thank you. I'm Bob McKee with Florida County.
Sir, if you could just turn the mic.
There we go.
Okay, great.
I was confused by the green light.
You're recognized.
Thank you. I'm Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. Our concern on this bill is only with one section, Section 9 of the bill, that deals with tax abatement. There's two parts of the bill that deal with tax abatement. Section 11 deals with the collapse of Surfside, and we have no concerns about that section of the bill. The reason we're concerned about Section 9 is it opens up all future abatements without it coming back to the legislature. We're concerned that in a truly significant catastrophe that it will that could be devastating, say a Hurricane Michael hitting downtown Tampa or Hurricane Andrew hitting Miami, something of that nature, hitting a populated area again, that the standing requirement for abatement in the subsequent year would make it difficult, if not impossible, for that local government to meet their needs. The way the property tax system happens today, if it's damaged or destroyed in a given year, the assessment looks backwards to January 1, but if on the subsequent year, on January 1, that destruction is still there, the property the damage is treated like new construction, and it's given zero value in that subsequent year. And that happens for throughout the entirety of the year in the assessment. There's no provision under current law that once that property is inhabitable again, that then it is back on the tax roll for that part of the year. So we're concerned that there could be a situation where two-thirds of the value in the state is in residential, homestead, and non-homestead properties. The other third is in business properties, which are not affected by this bill. And so we're concerned in a situation where if the damage was such that it's still in that condition on January 1, the subsequent year, we have a dramatically diminished tax base. We also have a requirement to pay back prior year taxes to folks. And then the only place we'll have to look is to the business community, which currently are a full third of the property tax system in the state. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Okay, no questions. Thank you for your public testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Timothy Nungesser with the National Federation of Independent Businesses. They are a proponent of the bill. Mr. Nungesser, you're recognized.
Oh, there we go. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim Nungesser, representing NFIB, about 10,000 small and independent business owners here in Florida. I did want to come forward and thank the chairman for bringing forward this good bill. It's got a lot of provisions that we support. One of the newer provisions that particularly jumped out was the sales tax holiday for skilled workers. As we know, that's an area that we're seeing a significant labor shortage. Anything we can do to make it cheaper for those folks to go out and buy tools and textbooks, and anything we can encourage folks to get involved in the skilled trades, I think is a good thing. So I particularly wanted to thank the chairman for that. As we move forward on this bill, I wanted to highlight the good work the legislature has done the last few years and talk about an issue that I know is near and dear to a lot of folks' hearts, the business rent tax. The legislature has done a wonderful job over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. We started at 6%. We're all the way down to 2%. Our hope is that, if we see an opportunity to add some more language to the bill, we would very much be supportive of joining the other 49 states in hopefully eliminating the business rent tax, but at least taking a chunk out of that again this year. But we know that's, perspective moving forward, but we'd encourage the legislature to look at that moving forward. But we thank you for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you for your public testimony. Okay, we have Vanessa Ellicon, and she's waving in support. Jose Ellicon, it's waving in support. Thank you. Karen Woodall, a proponent, and I wish to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and
members. You're recognized.
Oh, sorry about that. Karen Woodall, the director of the Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Opportunity. It's been a long couple of days, as I know it has been for you. I didn't want to miss this opportunity to stand up and support a tax package coming forward, because normally I'm not doing that. And I mainly want to thank the Chairman Payne and Ranking Member Escamani for your work together on this and focusing this package on consumers and focusing it on non-recurring revenue. Because in my humble opinion, that's the way tax packages should be. Annual looks at when you have additional revenue, things you can do to support your constituents, your consumers, and we appreciate the work you've done on this, and we hope you will stand firm on this position. Thanks.
Thank you for your public testimony. Okay, so we have David Jimenez waving in support. Thank you. Next is Richard Jones waving in support. Thank you. Danielle Scoggins with the Florida Realtors waving in support. Danielle, you here? French Brown with Florida Power and Light Company, a proponent of the bill and a wish to speak. So you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, committee. I'll be extremely brief. French Brown here today on behalf of Florida Power and Light. Just wanted to thank the House for their inclusion of the sales tax issue related to the production of green hydrogen. That's also in House Bill 1163. Just some really brief background on that bill, because there's an important piece. Is in 1980, the Florida legislature passed a sales tax exemption for private companies to be able to purchase power generation equipment. That exemption was put in place, and it's a full exemption if you're burning clean energy or clean fuel sources. Back in the 80s, we had residual fuels, your old kind of dirty oils, and your non-residual fuels. And the way that that longstanding exemption for the last 40 years is provided is it's been this 85% threshold. The issue that comes before us today is, as many of you know, Florida Power and Light has a pilot project to start producing green hydrogen and then burning it in their turbines. The problem is that Florida sales tax law doesn't consider hydrogen to be an applicable fuel source. So it would jeopardize the exemption of that longstanding equipment. And so we just thank you for your support on that provision today, and thank you very much.
Thank you for your public testimony. Next is Dr. Rich Templin with Florida AFL-CIO. And it's a proponent, and I wish to speak.
Dr. Thank Templin, you, Mr. Chairman.
You're recognized.
I appreciate the indulgence. This is kind of a big deal for me. I don't know that I've ever stood in support of a House tax package before. And I certainly have never been on the same side of an issue at the podium with NFIB. So this is kind of a big deal. We do support this package. It is reasonable. It's balanced. We appreciate the fact that we're not looking at significant cuts to recurring revenue. We appreciate the fact that this is very consumer-centered, and really just want to thank Chair Payne for the work on this, and Vice Chair Zika, Representative Escamani as ranking member. And we want to echo the thoughts of the Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Policy. We urge you to hold strong on this. We are seeing some dramatic cuts to recurring revenue in the other chamber, and those have us and our members greatly concerned. But this is a package that we can really get behind. And thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for your work. And happy birthday, Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for your public testimony. Okay, next, we have Austin Stowers with the CFO Jim Patronus's office waving in support. Thank you. Michael Dobson with the CFO Patronus's office, a proponent of the bill, and I wish to speak. You're
thank
recognized,
you, Mr. Chair.
Sir.
And CFO's office just really wanted to thank staff and the chairman and, of course, Representative Sigley on helping us with the tax abatement for impact-resistant windows and doors. And just so the committee knows, many of these improvements are also going to qualify homeowners for mandatory premium reductions on their homeowners insurance. So there is going to be a multiplier effect from this provision. Not only are we going to save consumers on the sales tax side of the house, but the multiplier is going to roll into their property insurance rates. So thank this committee very much for, you know, taking a firm stand on property insurance in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you for your public testimony. Next is Amber Hughes with Florida League of Cities, an opponent, and I wish to speak at the meeting. Is Amber okay? Hughes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members. Amber Hughes with the Florida League of Cities. I know that the committee members and the staff have done a lot of work in putting together this tax package. Unfortunately, we do share the concerns on Section 9 of the Association of Counties. Historically, the League of Cities has never opposed abatement for homestead property owners post-catastrophic event. Obviously, we recognize when these horrible events happen that homeowners need some relief, especially if their houses are uninhabitable. Unfortunately, with this provision, without knowing the magnitude and not being able to prepare for it, we are just putting this out there without having really any knowledge of what impact that will have. Mr. McKee talked about when we have a really horrific storm, we have the bad one hit Tampa or the bad one hit Jacksonville. Those are the times when our residents need the most services, and you would leave us, unfortunately, having to rely heavily on our business community. The one piece that he did not mention would be our bond ratings. Property taxes are the only constitutionally authorized revenues that we have. And while we do have to go to voter referendum to just pledge property taxes, we regularly pledge them when we do what's called covenant to budget and appropriate. This is something we would now have to disclose, and it definitely adds an additional risk to this revenue stream that the rating agencies would not look fondly upon. And so for that reason, I just wanted to make sure to go on the record expressing our concerns. So I'd be happy to take any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your public testimony. Next is Lorena Holly with the Florida Retail Federation and waving support. Thank you. Chris Dawson with the Florida Roofing and Sheet Metal Contractors Association. I wish to speak, and they're a proponent of the bill. Mr. Dawson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Chris Dawson with the Florida Roofers. We too want to rise and really highlight the skilled workforce sales tax holiday. And we want to thank Chairman Payne for his good work on that. On top of the tangible benefits, of course, of the sales tax holiday, we also think that there's a strong messaging benefit to our apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship students around the state, that their education matters equally with other forms of education. So we really appreciate this gesture. And again, thanks to Chairman Payne for his leadership on this issue.
Thank you for your public testimony. Next, we have Carol Bowen with Associated Builders and Contractors of Florida. They're a proponent of the bill and wish to speak. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Not surprising, we are also in support of this legislation, specifically for the section that my coworker Chris Dawson just mentioned. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your work on that. It is an interesting day in this committee when Dr. Templin and I are on the same side of an issue, so that's something to be celebrated. But cannot say enough about the demands on the construction industry right now. We already had a skilled worker shortage. With everybody moving to the state, the demands will only increase. So anything we can do to incentivize people to enter a very important education track, no less important than a traditional four-year college degree, is to be celebrated. And so thank you, Mr. Chair, for the work on this. Thank you, committee.
Thank you, Ms. Bowen. Next, we have Willie DeBeery II, and they wave in opposition. Next, Stephen Simon, representing self, waving support. Willie Kitchen, self, wave in support. Willie. Jacqueline Smith, wave in support. Barry Dam, wave in support. The last one, we have Alberto Balito with Florida Association of Property Appraisers and wave in support. Thank you. I think that wraps up the public testimony. Members, debate. Representative Hart, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Vice. I would like to just say I am so happy to see this tax package this year. For the last 4 years, I've wanted to see an increase in the back-to-school sales tax. We started it 5 days, 7 days. Thank you so much for taking it to 14 days. Working parents really needed that desperately, so I was very happy to see that. I'm in the housing business, of course. I'm happy to see people be able to buy their tools, and we need lots of construction workers in my area. The rent sales tax, I'm a 37-year business owner. I applaud you. We needed that reduction, and we've been asking for it. So the tax package had a lot of good things. I mean, we were laughing this morning. This is the first time that Anna and I could just look at it and be happy from the onset and not come in here with a bunch of questions. So I just want to thank you all for all the work that you all did in creating this tax package. Nothing is ever perfect, but we're pretty darn close. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Hart. Representative Visigli, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Chair Payne and staff for this really great package. I'm especially excited for the skilled trade workforce sales tax holiday. Obviously, you know, anytime we can help, you know, the blue-collar workers in this state is a huge bonus. And personally, you know, the fact that my 30 employees can buy boots and gloves and safety glasses, the trash guys are important too, and I really appreciate that. Also, I want to thank you, Chair Payne, for the temporary sales tax exemption for impact-resilient windows, doors, and garage doors. Really enjoyed working with the CFO's office on that. And yes, it's going to qualify for property insurance savings, which is incredibly important these days. So I appreciate this great package. Obviously, I'm very supportive of it, and I appreciate your good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sigley. Ranking Member Escamana, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. And I, of course, want to thank the incredible work of Chair Payne and of our staff for definitely building a package that includes Democratic, Republican proposals that includes consumer-focused needs, including the tax credit program for Habitat for Humanity, including the holidays that Rep. DeSigley mentioned and other folks in the audience. And I especially am grateful, of course, for the addition of the year-long tax break for diapers for children. Members probably remember last session, we talked about it. You know, I brought an amendment and I withdrew it, knowing that this committee would be authentic in considering it. And I just feel so honored that the trust I had in my colleagues was fulfilled. I think that's an incredible feeling to come back a year later and say, we talked about it, we expressed solidarity, and it actually happened. And there are diaper banks who are watching right now who are so excited for this. And it is for a year. And of course, you know, our bill is permanent. But in a year of surplus, what an incredible way to help families navigate the expenses of parenthood by reducing this tax for a year. And hopefully we can continue it. You know, hopefully we see the impact as something the state can handle, that we can come back next session and continue that effort. And like Representative Hart said, you know, no package is going to have everything we want in it. But I will say that folks know me as someone who is pretty aggressive when it comes to corporate tax issues. And this is another package to be very proud about. You know, the Florida House is drawing a line in the sand and not replicating some of the policy in our neighboring chamber. And not allowing for recurring revenue to go away. Upwards of $4 billion is what the Senate is doing right now. So I think this is also a very fiscally conservative package. I think it's very thoughtful to giving tax breaks to consumers. And there are a few, you know, breaks in there for different companies. Some spoke today. But I think those are modest compared to what we're doing for consumers. And so it's a very well-balanced package. Members, you know me, I also love combined reporting, and so I always want to bring it up. Maybe one day we'll be able to have that conversation. But sales tax is a very regressive tax, so everything we can do to help loosen that blow, especially during a period of inflation, is really, really powerful. So I just want to say thank you again to staff and chair, and I'm very proud and excited to celebrate and vote up on this tax package.
Thank you, Ranking Member Eskimani. Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Just quickly, it's a complex document with a lot of decisions, and I think there's a lot of thoughtfulness and deliberation. Mr. Chairman, you did a great job.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too want to thank Chair Payne for all of his hard work on this very complex tax package, and especially for this kumbaya moment that we so seldom get to enjoy. You know, and I specifically, though, the expansion of items on the back-to-school tax holiday and the increase in price limitations throughout the package on things like disaster preparedness, et cetera, are significant. And it's so true. You mentioned, Chair Payne, in your presentation how the increase in property tax exemption for seniors, widows, et cetera, the blind and disabled was $500. That amounted to about a $10, $11 savings on their taxes a year. And by raising it to $5,000, it makes it somewhat more significant. So thank you very much for the bill. I'm completely up on it.
Thank you, Representative Caruso. Representative Cho, if you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I think about a famous quote of Thomas Jefferson: "A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of the laborer the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government." And I think about that quote as we've gone through this tax package today, and I just want to thank Chair Payne and staff. I believe this is good government. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shove. I see no other debate. Okay. Representative Payne, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Well, thank you, Vice Chair. And just let me say a few things, take a few minutes of a privilege here, that members, this is our package. this is your package. I've heard you all. I think it's very well balanced with partisan relationship. I think you pointed out that ranking member. You know, I heard a couple of things today that I'd like to address. I heard from the cities and the counties, and you know, I hear you. I understand you. I heard concerns about the situation that counties will be in if we have disaster impacts. But I'm concerned about the situation individuals are in when they cannot inhabit their home, when they have to leave. We saw that. If you visited the panhandle after Michael, you saw that. I personally was there for some time. And it's very, very upsetting and disheartening. So this is a package for citizens. It's a package that that we wanted to make sure we were sending a message to our citizens of our state with the opportunities. It's easy to make a tax package when you have a great revenue opportunity. We want to give those tax dollars back to those hardworking citizens in the state to make sure they have every opportunity to improve the quality of their life. You know, we also talked about the pipeline of opportunities for those that are skilled workers. We know not all students are going to be college-bound, and we have numerous jobs available for skilled workers right now. So we want to ease their opportunity into their apprenticeships if they apply. Also wanted to mention, you know, we talked about the business rent tax and the policies we put in place last year in taking those dollars that we use in a lot of areas and rebuilding the trust fund will allow us to continue to reduce that commercial lease tax over the years to the point where we should be able to abolish it eventually. The Green Hydrogen Initiative, we talk about energy all throughout the state. This one was particularly important to me because it did, as Mr. Brown recognized, it took a renewable resource through the process of electrolysis and creates a hydrogen product that is a safe, decarbonized product. And we want to see more of those type of projects in the state as we talk about green energy, and we talk about, well, we could talk about green hydrogen and pink hydrogen and gray hydrogen. There's all types of hydrogen that are in production today. But this is one that removes the carbon of the element that goes back into the environment, so it's environmentally safe. So thank you for your comments there. Mr. Templin, thank you for your understanding of what we're trying to do with consumer protection. Mr. Nungesser, certainly you hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned for skilled labor. And I just want to say also that, you know, our staff is incredible. You know, our staff, I can tell you, works hours and hours and hours. I talk to them on the weekend. I talk to them at night. Sometimes I get text or emails late at night. But I also want to make sure before I close on this bill that we get them a round of applause. So join me, please. And I'll have a few more comments on that in a few minutes. But members, this is your tax package. We will negotiate it as well as we can with the Senate to hold our place. And I really thank you for your support of this tax package. And Mr. Chair, with that, I close.
Rosa, please call the roll on PCB WMC 22-01 and announce the vote.
Chair Payne?
Yes.
Vice Chair Zika?
Yes.
Ranking Member Escamani?
Yes.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Hart?
Yes.
Killebrew? Maggart?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Sabatini? Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Rosa. Show the bill reported favorably. With that, I will turn the gavel back over to Chair Payne.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Members, you know, that concludes our meeting for today, but let me say a few other words. You know, it's been a privilege to be your chair for the last 2 years. And we've had a lot of great discussions, and it's been a privilege, and I want to thank the speaker for that opportunity. You know, we've had great times and good debate, and I often kid with Ranking Member Escamani on some of the issues that we go back and forth on. But I think you heard today that we do recognize what you bring to the table. I want to thank you all for your hard work, certainly want to thank. I look out in the crowd and see some friends I see out there with some sad faces because they may not have had some stuff in the corporate package on the House side. But we're still working on that. Again, I can't stress enough the value that we have on this committee with the staff that we have. They've been incredible to work with. Members, thank you for today. And with that, Chair DeSigley moves, we rise. Without objection, show the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.